our legal eagle, and Peter's on the line. Today, our topic, continuation of our theme about drugs and various types. And today, we're touching on alcohol and alcohol abuse. Peter, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning, Wayne. As I said to you, in doing my research, amongst my law books, I found this very interesting article, which was on radio and TV, SABC1. Unfortunately, it doesn't say when. It's Sol Setty, Alcohol and You. It's produced way back. It must be in the very early days, because I think some of these newspapers and that don't even exist anymore. But it was a joint venture that said everybody needs to know about the problems of alcohol misuse. It affects individuals, families, and communities. And then it says this book can be used by the community and in parents, adults, young people, teachers, health, and community workers can use it to assist where alcohol is involved. And that book was produced in English, Zulu, isiXhosa, Sesotho, and Afrikaans. So at the time, it was 5 languages. And it's a very knowledgeable book. It starts with an opening paragraph. It's in picture form. It's actually fantastic. It's like a storybook to read and to bring across to your family and friends and people who have the problems. So what it starts with is that the lady says to her husband that, you know, has there always been a problem with your friends drinking too much alcohol? And then you see a guy sitting over there who looks like he's had a few too many. And he says, no, modern living, apartheid and poverty changed drinking in South Africa. Very interesting statement. And he goes on to say that the history of hundreds of years, people from many cultures and many nations have drank alcohol. There are some communities which never drink alcohol at all. Yes, there are still some that don't do it. And then it goes back to say that in the old days, traditional African societies had the privilege of making home-brewed beer, which was not as strong as alcohol that is bought today. It also had nutritional value, and it was only drunk on special occasions. That helped to avoid the misuse of alcohol, and it did not happen often. But then you move on to say that, you know, that they were traditional ways of drinking were destroyed because nobody was allowed to make beer at home. The old colonial government tried to use alcohol to control African people and stop them. And it goes on to say that in the very old days, believe it or not, workers received alcohol as part of their pay. This was called the
Dopper system. Yes, that was in the Western Cape.
I remember that so well. That's it. Absolutely. And the government actually owned beer halls, believe it or not, and African people had to go to the beer hall to drink. They were only allowed to drink in areas where they lived. So they were secluded from drinking anywhere in pubs and things like that. So, you know, it goes on to expose poverty and apartheid, saying that that had a huge effect on the use of alcohol. And the reasons that they gave in the earlier days was that they said they drank to try and forget the problems in the country. They drank alcohol because the government did not provide any other kind of recreation facility for the African people. And then people brewed and sold alcohol illegally at home to earn a living. And that's how alcohol became a part of everyday life. And the misuse of alcohol caused problems for lots of people in South Africa as a result of that old DOP system and the restriction that there was in the years of apartheid. So, you know, many South Africans drink alcohol, and where do you find alcohol? Unfortunately, it exposes it by saying, you know, people drink in their homes, drink in bars and pubs, people drink at the parks, which is, we know is a major problem. At sports events, people are allowed to drink. Shebeens, and many other places. The workplace, for example, is also a spot where alcohol seems to have become involved. And, you know, once again, when you go back and say, why do South Africans drink such a lot of alcohol? Because we do have a country with alcohol problems.
Mm.
And poverty and not enough jobs cause people to drink. The recreation facility, the mood and drink. And, you know, there's not enough knowledge at that. In those days, there was not enough knowledge or understanding about alcohol and its effect. And the worst of all was people getting paid on the dope system, you know, which forced them to drink, unfortunately. And a very interesting statement made in the book is that advertising of alcohol makes people think they are popular and successful. That is so true. And you know, one of the worst places as well that took place was in the mines.
Yes.
The mining workers were paid on the system, some of them, and as was in the old days, as mentioned, yeah, the farm workers and that were paid in mealie-meal and samp and beans and, you know, not money. You know, they were given free accommodation and then paid in food, which I suppose was good. But, of course, alcohol can be harmful. We're talking about the effect that alcohol has. You know, it causes people to lose their jobs because they're not able to concentrate because they've drank too much and, you know, they're not feeling good the next day. They have the good old babalas, as they call it. Yeah. And then, of course, it leads to violence and murder in a number of cases, you know, where that happens. And worst of all, drinking and driving, it causes major motor accidents. Alcohol causes sickness. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, a lot of people are hurt in car accidents where drunken driving has taken place. Sickness caused by the misuse of alcohol causes costs and money at hospitals and places like that. And those people that have problems with members of the family who have an alcoholic problem also have to spend money on psychiatrists and rehabilitation and things like that. So alcohol is harmful and is costly to a family. So it's something that you need to nip in the bud early. But of course, you know, we mustn't just down alcohol. It's not always harmful. A lot of people drink alcohol safely, and it's not a problem. If it's used sensibly, if you have your one or two beers, there's nothing wrong. And, of course, it's also good for our country. I mean, it's a huge factor that provides jobs, you know, for the people that make it, the people that deliver it, the people that sell it, the people that that advertise it, you know. And alcohol has a tax on it. I mean, you always see with the budget speech that alcohol is going up. So it's one thing that helps the government to make money. It's a huge factor in the budget. So those are all things that one really has to take into account. You know, why do people drink alcohol? We've already said they drink to forget their problems. They drink to relax and have fun. They drink because they're bored and have nothing else to do. They drink because they're friends. And that's the worst one. And they can't say no or don't want to be left out. A lot of people think that alcohol gives them courage. You get so many people that are introverts. The minute they get alcohol in them, then they're the livelihood of the party and the main man that's going to celebrate and have fun and sing karaoke and all sorts of things. People get stupid, you know, unfortunately, and that's factual. So, you know, it's there. Advertising, a lot of, in the old days, cigarettes and alcohol were huge places that, or not establishments that advertised in newspapers, on TV, in the radio, on billboards. You don't see much of it anymore because, you know, it's very cautious. On TV these days, you'll see the Castle Light or the Heineken, you know, the different breweries and that advertising, but it'll all be into a story that's, you know, sorted and guided. So, you know, advertisements as well make a lot of people drink. They think drinking will make them popular. That's not true, of course. They also believe that makes them more attractive. You know, people think that when they drink, all of a sudden, and that they're the center of attraction, and they drink to make themselves fun to be with. And that's very sad that that's happening. You know, it shouldn't happen, because that's the start of trouble for some people that cannot hold their alcohol or have a drinking problem. And of course, like we already mentioned, you know, so many people lose their jobs over alcohol. So many people lose their friends over alcohol. There's so much abuse in this day in society with interfering with other people's stuff that, you know, your partner can leave you because of drinking quite easily. It leads to divorces. There's no doubt about that. And then, of course, fighting. I mean, you know, you have a look at all the bar fights and that type of thing. There'll be alcohol involved, you know, and that's it. So I suppose the next question we must ask is, why does alcohol do it? How does alcohol do it? So, you know, alcohol enters the body through the to the stomach and to the intestines. And then, of course, once it's into the stomach and intestines, it enters into your blood. And you can't control your body if you have drunk too much alcohol. You don't react as quickly as you normally do. And you may even fall down. Your speech is impaired. Your eyesight goes. You know, you just don't have the reaction that you have without alcohol. You know, the body has to work hard to get rid of that alcohol as well. A lot of people don't realize that, the effect that it has on your kidneys. You know, you pass a lot of urine. There's no doubt about that. Once you start drinking, then they say, oh, you know, if I open the tap, it's going to just continue running, which is so true. You know, the minute you go for a piddle or a pee, you know, you're going to go on and on and on doing the same thing. So it's very sad. You pass a lot of urine and your body becomes dry. You need water to supplement that. And, of course, the worst thing is that you get that old babalas or hangover if you've drank too much. You know, some people are lucky, they don't suffer from hangovers, but, you know, most people do. So it's there. You've got to be careful. And then I suppose let's ask the question, how does it change the mind? I suppose, you know, you relax, you start feeling happy, you're less shy, you become more talkative. There's no doubt that that happens. If you're a non-drinker and you sit and watch people, it's amazing how that character change comes into effect. You know, your brain seems to work slower as far as I'm concerned. And then, you know, some people always fall down. Some people don't fall down. Some people say they can, you know, they can sort out and hold their alcohol, but believe you me, it doesn't do that. And the worst part is that the drinking of alcohol does cause permanent damage to your bodies if you drink too much. If you don't give it a chance to rehabilitate itself, then it's going to cause permanent damage to your bodies, your kidneys, you know, your stomach, your intestines and things like that. It's going to affect your bladder and that type of thing. So it's there. And, you know, of course, the all advice that people give you is, you know, if you're going to go out drinking, make sure that you've had something to eat. Make sure that your stomach is full. The old thing says, eat sardines before you go drinking. I mean, that's an old, at school, I remember the guy saying, if we're going to drink tonight, we must go buy a little tin of sardines and eat it beforehand, you know.
Because it lines your tummy with oil.
What's something with oil? That's what it was. And the reason for that is that, obviously, you know, the body works more quickly if you drink and have had no food. You know, drinking on an empty stomach is a major problem that they can cause problems and that type of thing. You know, another thing that you do is that you say things which hurt your family. When you've had too much to drink, you incline to open your mouth and call people names that you wouldn't normally do, or say something about a person that you wouldn't normally do. You become aggressive. It leads to fights and that. And it also leads to a lot of people neglect their family. I mean, I know of how many people that don't go to the pub every single evening after work you know, and get home at 9, 10 o'clock in the evening. It's quite sad and sickening that something like that is happening. You know, it's a situation where people don't cooperate. They become difficult to talk to, or they come in stinking of alcohol and nobody in the family wants to be with them, and that type of thing. Accidents, frightening. Mm-hmm. You know, too much alcohol makes you drive dangerously, and, you know, most third-party claims are caused by people who have alcohol in their system, sadly. And, you know, it's careless. You can be innocent people walking on the road. Friends of ours from Sinsa, their daughter and son-in-law were taking their dogs for a walk on the beachfront when a car just drove straight over them, killing both of them.
Wow.
The cause? Alcohol. Very, very sad. But that was the cause of it, you know. So, and also, you know, you're a pedestrian. A lot of people say, oh, I don't drink and drive, I walk.
Drunk pedestrians.
Even worse. Yeah, I mean, I often don't. I mean, on our little road to Sinsa, and I'm sure you see it on the East Coast over there, how many times on the side of the road don't you see these people that are 1 minute on the side of the road, the next minute in the middle of the road, they don't know where they are, or they're sleeping on the side of the road and things like that. That's all caused by alcohol, unfortunately, and that's the effect that it has. And it's dangerous, you know. And, of course, you know, when you look at it, violence and crime comes into it. Those are the people that abuse their partners, their children, their friends. And, of course, you know, it's common knowledge as well that a person with alcohol in them forces the other party to have sex with them, even if they don't want to, which is basically rape.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they come in and say, no, you're too drunk to have sex, but they insist on forcing it onto the person. And that basically is rape. You know, you don't realize that. And also a common cause of AIDS, and that was people having unsafe, unprotected sex, which led to pregnancy, which led to HIV, AIDS, and other sexually transmitted diseases. It was one of the causes. It was highlighted as being one of the causes. You know, to be careful. Don't do it when you, you know, when you're under the influence of alcohol, you know, and It causes major problems with your health as a result of that. So, you know, also now a lovely, interesting topic in the book is what is the long-term problems with alcohol? One, it can make you very sick. It can affect your mind and body. And interesting enough, it says the following. It can cause brain cells to die, which will not grow again. That's what they found medically. It will cause cancer of the food pipe. That's very interesting. Your food pipe is your throat going down. It will cause heart disease or heart attack, alcohol, which means that you'll end up with heart problems. And then the most important one is that it causes serious damage to your liver and your stomach. And, of course, an interesting one as well is that high blood pressure is also blamed on alcohol to a great extent. So from a health point of view, they say, you know, stop, do it properly in the sense that you mustn't overindulge in alcohol. They say set your limits. Talk to your community about improving recreation facilities so that you form a good part, you know, a good friendship where you go off to play tennis or squash or paddle or whatever it may be. And, of course, the other interesting thing that we must always remember is that it's so wrong to force people to drink. You know, if somebody doesn't drink, leave them alone. Got nothing to do with you. They're entitled to that. You know, a lot of times people are forced. You're sitting in a room with a whole lot of people and you've got one or two people that don't drink, and the next minute up, somebody comes back with like 12 shooters, one for everybody. The next minute all 12 people are buying shooters. You know, I've seen that happen so often, and people don't like that. I mean, often don't I see people throwing it over the back of their shoulders or taking it in and then running to the toilet and
getting rid of it quickly.
People to drink. Leave them alone, you know. If you struggle to say no, walk away. Don't accept it just because you want to be part of the group. You know, finding fun is not alcohol related. You can do it without alcohol. And that also, you know, people don't realize it, but one of the dangers of alcohol is that it makes people unpopular, unhealthy, uncool. You know, you'll find that they reek of alcohol. You'll find that they can't communicate and participate with you, can't have decent chats with you. You know, they slowly but surely fall asleep at the table where you're at and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't just for the sake of being in the party drink and that type of thing. And if you're one of those that, you know, goes every day to the club and that type of thing or to your local pub, think about what you're doing. You know, start reflecting on yourself and saying, am I doing the right thing? You know, do we have the money to pay for it? Am I doing the right thing having so maybe 4 or 5 beers every night? Does my body get a chance to recover? You know your limit and know what you can drink and when you can drink. So, you know, the recommendation there is sensible drinking is necessary. You must be in control of your body and your mind. You should have a limited, you know, I know a lot of people that have 2 beers every day, which is perfect. You know, you don't have to drink every day, but a lot of people say, oh, it's the fuel that keeps me going. I often don't hear that. and of course, there are different types of alcohol. You know, 1 unit of alcohol can be a tot of whiskey, a brandy, or a spirit. 1 can of beer or 1 small glass of wine. That's 1 unit. Now, depending on your weight, most people can only have 2 units before they're over the limit. Of course, it takes a long, long time for that to get out of your system. The old days, and I don't think it's still the same, and in this book it says the same thing. I remember being told women can only have 2 units of alcohol and men can have up to 4. But I think the woman can drink as much as the men these days. I don't believe there's any
difference.
Any difference anymore. Yeah. And of course, you know, there's that old guideline that says if you're pregnant, don't drink. If you're very tired, don't drink. If you've not eaten, don't drink. If you work on a machine, a dangerous machine, like you're a mechanic or something like that, working on engines and that, don't drink. And then, of course, the most important thing is don't drink and drive. Even a little alcohol can make you drive badly. You know, it's illegal to drink with alcohol in your system, and they're looking at bringing it down to 0 rating, which I think is excellent. I know we all like our own problems. But when you look at the accident zones and the accidents that take place and the related alcohol percentages in people where accidents are involved, it makes sense that it should not be done.
Yes, yes.
So it's not safe to also drink when you're taking medication. You know, check with your doctor if you can drink. They invariably tell you, especially if you're taking antibiotics, they will say to you, do not drink. And that type of thing. So also be careful of drinking with strangers. You don't know what they're going to do. You know, don't go to places where there's a fight. I mean, people identify this pub and that pub. Go in there and you're guaranteed to get a fight if you want that. And, of course, they always say don't drink too far from your home. And also if you see somebody that you're angry with, walk away from it. You know, because if you see somebody that you don't like or which caused problems and that, you're going to attack that person. And it's also sad that people drink every day. People shouldn't do that. You know, that's it. So rather, you know, be safe, do sensible drinking. How do we do that? Drink with friends that you know well. Drink in safe places, you know, at home or at a pub where you know it's safe. Drink close to your home. If you're going to go drinking, you know, don't travel from East London to the airport to go and from Cincinnati to the airport to go and have a few drinks, because, you know, it's not safe to travel home from that sort of distance, 60 k's out. And also drink with friends that you know that are not going to cause problems. And you have the right to say no. Don't forget that. You know, you always have that right. It shouldn't be you know, something that's forced on you. So set your targets, drink rationally, only refill your glass when it's empty. You know, don't forget to eat, like we said. And then another very good thing as well, and a lot of people do that, is for every beer you have a glass of water.
Yeah.
You know, that helps.
It helps with the bubblers.
Helps with the bubblers as well. Really, you know, a lot of people I know drink, and then at the end they turn over onto water and drink a lot of water because, as we said, it dehydrates you.
Mm.
You know, your body requires it. And, you know, the most important thing, and I say, is that if somebody says no, leave them alone.
The word is no.
You know, don't antagonize the person until they're forced to drink.
Mm.
You know, people are often, I mean, groups and people say, ah, he's just a sissy, he doesn't drink. You know, you're not a sissy. You've actually got a strong will. So you're far from being a sissy because of the alcohol effect in that regard. And then, of course, you know, men who drink, research has shown that more men drink than women, but I think that it's slowly catching up where it's probably equal in this day and age.
Right.
And it's not a man thing to do. You know, it's not a thing that, oh, the men go for drinks in the pub, the women stay at home. You know, these days you see husbands and wives going together to drink, it becomes a family problem.
Mm,
you see kids that are dragged into pubs every day of their life.
That's a real family problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, I went to a function the other day, and at the pub where we were, there were at least 7 or 8 school kids. At least they were with their parents playing around the club, and the parents were having a drink. They were still in their school uniform, and I wondered, had they done their homework? What time will they eat? You know, we're now 6 at night.
Yeah.
We're still sitting at a pub. So when is mom and dad going to do elk? I mean, when are mom and dad going to do homework with them? Are they going to do homework with them when they get home? Too much to drink? You know? So it's there. Slow down. Don't use alcohol as an escape goat, you know?
That's it.
And of course, you know, the next thing is educate your children on that. To talk to them, to tell them about the good and the bad of alcohol. You know, you can train them into saying, don't drink too much. If you're going to drink, drink in moderation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay not to drink if other people are drinking. And worst of all is to experiment with alcohol. If you go to your friend's house and you've stolen a bottle of brandy, which you've probably all done, and there are 4 or 5 of you and you drink it neat and, you know, you don't tell anybody, you throw the bottle away thinking that the mom or dad is not going to find it. They know you've done that. People know what alcohol they've got there. We've all done that, but it's a silly thing to do. When I look back now and think about it, it was crazy. I mean, you know, why we did it, nobody knows. And it's something that I hope is taught in the schools these days. Certainly when I was at school, we had people, members from the South African Police Force that used to come around and educate us on alcohol and drinking and drugs. And I trust that that still happens in the schools today. In fact, it's something that I'd like to check on. And, you know, see that it does still happen.
And
and if you've got a problem, go talk to your family. Don't hide it. If you feel that you've got problems and you can't tell anybody and you're drinking to hide them, talk to your family before it's too late. Don't get to the stage where you become an alcoholic, where you can't control your alcohol anymore, where it's your scapegoat. You don't need that, you know. And likewise, if you see someone in the family that's drinking too much, sit them down, talk to them. Not when they've had too much to drink the next morning.
When they're feeling better.
And then don't say, oh, they've got a bubble ass. You can't talk to them in the morning. That's nonsense, you know. You know, you only have a drinking problem when you're drinking too much. You find that you're wasting your money on alcohol, which is not good. And you behave differently. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, do the correct thing. Talk about it. Don't argue with the family. When they say to them, you've had too much to drink, walk away. Go to bed. Go to your room. You know, a lot of people pick up health problems and don't realize that neither, that alcohol is the cause of it. You know, people say to me, oh, shut up. You know, my blood pressure's high or my heart's not beating correctly.
But they don't realize that it goes down to alcohol.
Yeah, that they've been drinking, you know. You can look for the signs in your family and you need to correct it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the worst thing is that so often I hear of people with a problem and then people take the alcohol and hide it. That doesn't help.
Because they're going to pushes it underground. Alcohol.
They're going to go buy more. If you take it and you pour it down the toilet, you're throwing money away. You rather need to sit down, talk to the person, take action. The more you do about the problem that there is, the better for you, the better for the family. And, of course, there is also help. There are lots of people that can help you. You know, you've got family and friends that sometimes are very good to help with an alcoholic. You've got clinic sisters that can help, or psychiatrists these days. You've got doctors. If you go to your doctor, he can help. Your attorney can help.
Peter, talking about attorneys, sorry to interrupt you there, but can we maybe continue this chat next week? We've gone horrendously over time.
We're at the end of it. You know, that's basically the chat from this book, which I sent you a copy of, the Fates cover of it. Anyway, but yes, if people want to contact us, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road, Alum's Attorneys, telephone 043-7211-018.
Great,
and
Peter.
Of course, they can like us on Facebook.
And to get all the details there as well. Peter, thank you very, very much for the chat. A very important chat, and one that sadly is a big problem, and one that we need to keep in mind as a problem. But thank you very much. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week.